of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We just heard the reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, which is, of course, part of the early part of the Sermon on the Mount. And today we are celebrating the Fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council. And this Gospel reading is always, in particular, set aside for Sundays like this, where we're remembering fathers from the various councils, because their clarification, their defense of the faith against heretical teachings, is their way in which they let their light shine, as this gospel speaks about. So anytime we talk about light in the church, there's a lot of beautiful things that can be said and a lot of significance to that. And so I wanted to start by not focusing on the gospel so much, but taking us back to the very beginning of Scripture, the book of Genesis, and the creation of all things. The very first verses of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. The earth was invisible and unfinished, and darkness was over the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, the darkness he called night, and there was evening and morning one day. Now, when we think of this division between day and night, it is easy for us to think about it in the terms of how we experience that. But what's interesting, if you read the entire creation account, is that it wasn't until the fourth day that God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament and heaven for illumination to divide day and night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years." God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. So even though night and day existed after the first day of creation, it wasn't until the fourth day that God created the sun and how we would consider the moon to light the night. So there's a difference between the light that comes from the sun, which God created, and the light that came into being on the first day of creation that broke through the darkness that was over the deep. And so this is the light of God that exists in all created things that originally broke through the darkness. And that light existing in all created things, that means that it exists within us as well. And this is a really important thing for us to understand, because it can be very easy in our day-to-day struggles trying to live our lives as Christians to think of the light of Christ being within us as something that we are attaining to, that we are chasing after. But the reality of it is within us as created beings. That creative energy that God uses to create the heavens and the earth and the seas and the creatures and everything that there is, even beyond our understanding in this earth and throughout the cosmos, throughout all of space and the galaxies and everything that God created, that same created energy and light exists within us as well. And so when we think about that, these words, "Let your light so shine before men," it's a great responsibility. And I wanted to focus a little bit, not just on the gospel passage itself, but kind of adding the 13th verse, because this gospel is verses 14 through 19, but going back to the 13th verse, because in those following verses where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." So Jesus is comparing and speaking to those who are his followers and saying that they have to be like light, they have to be like a lamp, and they have to be like a lampstand. But if you go back to verse 13, he also says, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Now, we know that salt, as Christ refers to it, is a seasoning. It gives things flavor, okay? It preserves things. And to eat salt with someone at the time meant to be bound together in loyalty. So for Christ to say that we are the salt of the earth means we must bring flavor. We must preserve what we have been given in the faith. But I also read something that was really interesting that connected salt also to light. It was said that people at the time would add salt to the lamps because the salt would make them brighter. And so again, being the salt of the earth means we take that light within us and we amplify it. We try to make it brighter. Now, specifically the fathers of the Fourth Council, who we remember today, if you were here for Orthros, you heard it being spoken about, that they were dealing with a particular heresy that diminished the human nature of Christ. That basically said that his human nature more or less got swallowed up by his divine nature to the point where he really just had that divine nature. And we can understand why that was such a significant debate and conversation and clarification that was needed in the church, because if Jesus didn't really have a human nature, then all of those things he did, what impact would they have on him? It was the fact that he was fully human, that he experienced all the things that we experienced, that he suffered and really felt pain when he was crucified on the cross, and that when his body went down into the tomb and then rose again on the third day, that he lifted up our human nature with him. But if he didn't have that human nature, none of that would be possible. So we can understand why this is a significant issue that the church had to face. And that creative light within us would mean nothing if Christ himself had not taken on flesh. And so the fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council were engaged in a very critical conversation and discussion. And as I said earlier, this is how they let their light shine in the church, by proclaiming the truth of who Jesus was, fully divine, fully human, a human and a divine nature. And so for us to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world, to add that seasoning to that light, to make it brighter, to put that lamp on a lampstand so all can see it, we may not be called to do that in the exact way that the fathers of the church were. But we all have a unique call to let our own personal light shine. But we have to be aware that it's there and be attentive to how God is calling each of us. And again, I alluded to the Sermon on the Mount, and I've spoken about the Beatitudes before, but it's significant that these verses in this gospel today come right after Jesus spoke about the Beatitudes. And so, for some of us, seasoning that light, making it brighter, may be through being meek, through being humble. It may be through being a peacemaker. It may be through our mourning for our sins, for the sins of our brothers and sisters, for those who are suffering. It may be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And how can we seek righteousness in this world? It may be by seeking to be pure in heart. So we can't separate that call that Jesus makes, that reminder that we are the light of the world, that we are the salt of the earth. We can't separate it from how Jesus had also spoke to his followers about how they were to live, saying to them, these are who will be blessed: the humble, the meek, those who mourn, those who seek righteousness, those who are peacemakers. Maybe those are the ways that we are called to let our light shine. Sometimes it's in the simplest way that our lives impact other people. That's how the Christians came to be known for who they were. See how they love one another. to love, to be kind, to be compassionate. These are things that people can see in us if we are truly living them. There can't be a fakeness to it. There can't be a show that we're putting on. It has to be genuine from our hearts, that desire to seek righteousness, the desire to love others, to care for others. If it's genuine, then people will see it and people will know it. And we won't even have to talk about it. We just live it. And so, brothers and sisters, let us be inspired today by what those fathers of the Fourth Council did. Because that was their way of letting their light shine. But let us also look within ourselves to recognize that that light exists, that it is part of our human nature as God created us, and to seek ways that we can let our own light shine in this world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.